Hi everyone, my name is Michelle Cantrell Vasquez and I am the founder and editor of News Is My Business, an online news site about Puerto Rico's business community. In our second episode, we'll be talking about the steps we should all take to have our electronic devices and technology ready for this hurricane season. With us today is Wilton Vargas, founder of Tecnetico.com and an expert on all things tech.
So good to be with you and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, Wilton, for spending some time with us today. Let's start by talking about the basic steps that people should take to make sure that their technology is ready and working in case of an emergency. What did we learn from Hurricane Maria to be better prepared?
I think that what we learned after that event was that nothing is infallible. I think that people learned that they need to know about, they need to know how their technology works. What part of their technology is more indispensable so that they can take the necessary steps in order for it to either avoid from failing or take the steps to make it work better during that kind of circumstances. So I think that the basic steps that people need to take are that they need to familiarize with everything that they depend on, be cell phones, be computers, be backup systems. And I'm not talking only about their data. I'm talking about power, too. So if there is anything that they need to make sure that it works during or after an atmospheric event, that they need to make sure that they understand what's needed for that to happen. And that includes power systems, that includes, you know, battery backups and, you know, all the generators and making sure that the electrical system in their offices or businesses or homes, it's connected and laid down in a way that, you know, for that to happen. So they have to take into consideration all systems. They can't just look at a device and say, oh, this has battery. Okay, it's good to go. No, it has to go further than that. And I think they also need to understand what, other than the devices themselves, the data, where does it go? How available is it? Does it need to be during and after an atmospheric event? So all those things, devices, data, and what makes them work are the three things that I need, that I understand that that people need to know about in order to be prepared for something like that.
So, you know, that said, what do you consider to be the most important devices that every home should have available and ready to use?
It has to start with power systems, because after all, if the communications work during and after, then we need a way to tap into that. And that means, you know, making sure that you have the batteries so that you can charge your cell phones and any other device that you may need. It also needs to take into consideration the way we connect, right? For in some areas where during normal circumstances, maybe the signal, their cell phone company signal, is not the way it should be. Mm-hmm. So they should consider ways to somehow bring a stronger signal. And for that, there exists cell phone signal amplifiers that they can install in their home and businesses so that that cell phone company's signal can be amplified. And as a consequence, have a better connection. The other thing is that the Wi-Fi systems, you know, if your internet provider, it's whether it's wireless or wired, you need to take that into consideration as well. Because if you don't know how the internet signal gets to your location, then you won't know what to do. So that's something also to take into consideration.
Now, how important is it to have, you know, the battery backups, the car connections, to be able to, you know, replenish batteries and equipment once the power is out for, you know, a prolonged period of time?
Yeah, that's that is something that we learned the hard way, didn't we, during the hurricane? You know, there are available in the market really large batteries that can charge your device five, six, 10 times. You know, if you look at these portable batteries, they used to come in very small sizes, but now they have figured out a way to, yes, increase their size, but not that much. But at the same time, increase exponentially the times it can charge your device. And not only that, newer devices, like for example, Apple computers and the newest Windows computers, they use what is called a new standard called USB Type-C, which that means that with the same charger, if your phone, for example, uses a USB Type-C charger, then you can use it for your computer too, and vice versa. So that's another thing that I would like to mention, is that in addition to knowing what kind of devices you have, make sure that you know how they are connected, how they get power, because that way you can determine, you know, I can use this connector for this other device and then have flexibility in terms of how you're going to power them during and after. And that means that if you buy one of these large batteries that I was talking about, then you can not only power your cell phone or your tablet, you can even power your computer. And there are some models that can even, you know, jumpstart your car. So, you know, whatever battery you get, whatever backup power systems you get, try to make it as versatile as possible so that you can use it for different devices, even your car, during that kind of emergencies.
I've spoken to people since the hurricane, and many of them have decided, you know, for personal reasons, to have more than one cell phone. Is that a good idea?
As long as it's from these different companies, yes. Because you can put all your eggs in the same nest. You know, if you have different numbers, different cell phones, and they're from the same company, and the company fails, then you're left with nothing. So they need to be, if you're going to do that, they need to be from different companies so that, you know, if one fails, then you have the other as a backup.
Okay, now let me ask you, do you think that Puerto Rico's telecom network is better prepared now than it was last year, you know, before the hurricane, to handle such a massive storm again? Hopefully not, but again.
Yeah, that is a very interesting question that I need to answer this way. Yes and no. If you notice on major roads and also on non-major roads, there has been some construction. And what I'm referring to is that they are making like a trench on the side of the road that is not too wide. And why are they doing that? And you see that the construction workers that are doing that are not from the transportation and public works. No, they're from telephone companies and telecom companies. Why? Because finally, they are laying down the fiber. That fiber used to be on utility poles. And what happens when a storm comes? Knocks down the utility poles and down goes the fiber. So what they're doing now, and they have incredibly, in a very fast way, they have done, is that they have been burying fiber. So just for that, I think they're better prepared. They're not ready yet because there still needs, there's a lot that needs to be done yet. But just for that, I think they're better prepared, or they're on their way to be better prepared. Now, all we need to know, because they haven't been really transparent on this aspect, is the power aspect. You know, all this thing about generators and how many towers and how many cell sites are operating with generators versus having, you know, being connected to the grid. We need to kind of like know where they're at, and also how the system is going to react in case the power goes out the way it did. Because I'm not speculating here. It can happen. Even the power company has said so. The government has said so. So we need to know, or they need to be more transparent in that aspect. But overall, I think that they have been taking steps, which is a good thing.
Now, is there any specific, you know, piece of advice that you would give consumers, let's say on a personal, not necessarily on a business level, but on a personal level, of how they should prepare the same way that maybe they're buying water and they're buying, you know, non-perishables, and they're buying, you know, even food for their pets. How should they, and what should they have on hand, technologically speaking?
They need to have backup power systems. They need to have, and this is interesting, this is something that you don't have physical in your hands, but you need to make sure that you have it. And it's a backup system for your data. And I recommend...
Is that the cloud?
Yes, the cloud. Because not having your data physically present in a situation where it might be lost is a very good thing. Because then you can recover easily. And with that, I mean, you know, using services like Dropbox, Google Drive, and at the personal level, if you have an Apple device, then iCloud. I mean, there are so many options now. And storage is cheap. Apple used to be very stingy with the amount of storage that they give you for iCloud. Well, still is. It's just 5 gigabytes. But now for 99 cents, you can dramatically increase the amount of storage space you have. So there's 99 cents. I mean, really? 99 cents? You can't afford 99 cents? For the peace of mind that represents having your data in a secure space, I strongly recommend everybody to have in place a system so that their data is backed up in the cloud. Or baked in the cloud, because it can also be like that, depending on how you see it. Mm-hmm. But that needs to be done, because, you know, and I'm not talking about, like you said, on a business level or a professional level. I'm talking your photos, your family photos, your important documents. And another thing that you can do is scan all, you know, all the deeds and everything that has to do with your properties and belongings and all that. If those documents are so easy to scan now with apps that you can install on your phone, so that all that stuff is backed up and safely stored away from a phone that can get damaged, away from a computer that can, you know, no longer works after a storm. So that way you have continuity, which is, you know, the guiding idea. Have continuity. What do you need to continue functioning if all the things that you use on your daily basis stop working? And that's how you get to that point. And that is my recommendation to everybody that is listening to this.
And that is significantly important as well, for example, for entrepreneurs and self-employed people who, after the hurricane, actually had a really tough time finding where to work.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because they couldn't go home. They didn't have any power or Wi-Fi or anything else. So that business continuity issue applies across the board, from even the single, you know, self-employed person to a large scale business. I know that possibly speaking about business continuity is a whole nother topic, but in a nutshell, are you able to maybe give some advice to companies as far as what they should do in preparation for an atmospheric event?
Yes, absolutely. They need to sit down and come up with a plan. A plan on what happens after. And what happens if we don't have power? What happens if we don't have a place of business where we can operate? What are we going to do? What are our alternatives? Where can we go? Identifying your community, what areas or places or fellow businesses are where you can say, okay, this is the minimum I need to operate. Where can I get this? So that in case that happens again, then you can say, okay, and here's what we're going to do. Everybody knows what to do. And just it's a matter of execution, of just, you know, just following the plan.
And in that case, backing up on the cloud is
essential.
Is non-negotiable.
Right? No, absolutely. Absolutely. And identifying places where you can operate from during, you know, a situation where there is no power or your offices have been affected. That is something that every business need to take into consideration and not wait until the storm comes.
And is it expensive?
No, it isn't. I mean, let's start with those three aspects. The power, having electricity and the backup systems. You know, you can get batteries for your office, you know, for less than $100. And that you can afford to have like three or four of those devices. And then, you know, you can operate multiple devices from that. So that battery is going to be very useful. If you would like to invest in power banks, which are these portable batteries, then that's another thing that you can do. And they're very affordable. And try to get as much capacity as possible. Because if you buy these little tiny batteries, they may be convenient because they're small and lightweight, but they're not going to be of much use if there is no power to continuously recharge them. So it defeats its purpose. Try to get as large a battery as you can. And storage on a cloud. I mean, there are so many options. Google Drive gives you 15 gigabytes. So does OneDrive from Microsoft. There is Dropbox. You know, there are so many. And there are two types of cloud storage that I think businesses need to know about. What is called hot storage and cold storage. These are two different. And cold storage is cheaper than hot storage. Hot storage is like a hard drive. It's always available. Whatever you store there can be retrieved immediately. And that is the most expensive, quote unquote, type of cloud storage. But then cold storage is that type of storage that you use to store data that you don't need on a daily basis. Why? Because if you store something on cold storage, the data that you retrieve from that kind of storage takes some time to retrieve, maybe a couple of hours, maybe, you know, 12 hours, 24 hours. So it's like one of these storage facilities that you need to kind of like make an appointment so you can get there and retrieve your stuff. It's kind of like that. But because it is that way, it's significantly cheaper than the regular cloud storage. So that that can allow businesses to afford to have large amounts of cloud storage without paying the price. And they have to decide whether, you know, where this data goes, to cold storage or to hot storage. And that is something that they need to take into consideration. And the third thing is where are they going to operate after the fact? You know, identifying places and businesses that can offer co-working space so that they can, you know, continue working after if they're unable to do so from their own offices.
And that's on a separate note, but that did proliferate a lot.
Yes,
after Hurricane Maria. People found a way to share their space and found a way to keep going, because otherwise it would have been just a full collapse.
You know, and that is very interesting, because that was proof that more than ever, people need internet access. It is essential. It is part of us. Already, there's no question about it, in all aspects, and I met so many people that were desperately trying to find places where they could, you know, keep working and that could have a strong connection to the internet after the hurricane. That I said, you know, I hope that we learn from this and how important the internet is, and all industries recognize the importance of internet access.
Yeah, it's no longer a luxury.
No.
It's part of the business plan.
Yes, absolutely. Whether you are a very small business, one person, or you are a large company, you need to have access to the internet.
Well, listen, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with News Is My Business and for discussing such vital information for Puerto Rico.
My
pleasure.
I
appreciate it. To our listeners, if you have a topic you would like to hear us discuss in this space, please send us an email to news@newsismybusiness.com with your suggestions. Until next time.